Textbooks and PowerPoints can't convey the full understanding of how the food we eat get to the food we eat gets to our tables. Eats and gets kind of confused me there. That's why farm to school programs grew up around the country, communicating to kids in school a more direct knowledge of where food comes from. Rogue Valley Farm to School does just that kind of work in the greater Medford area. Here's our chance to talk about the components of the program and talk about the fundraiser called the Siskiyou Challenge coming up tomorrow. Two guests in the studio here. David Torzan is the Rogue Valley Farm to School board member, Siskiyou Challenge Fun Run director, and a science and environmental ed teacher at Vibes in Medford. David, welcome.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good to have you here. Chip Lindsay is with us as well. He is the executive director at the ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland, which figures prominently in tomorrow's Siskiyou Challenge. Welcome, Chip.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Good to have you both here. David, let's start with you. How long has Rogue Valley Farm to School been around?
Rogue Valley Farm to School has been around for over 5 years, and even though the Siskiyou Challenge is in its fourth year, Rogue Valley Farm to School did originate before this event.
So tell us about it, how it got started, why it got started, those sorts of things.
Well, Rogue Valley Farm to School is a branch of the national program. There's a national farm to school program which encouraged these sorts of local organizations to start up. And so there were several key players in the area that thought that we needed more farm education because there's so much opportunity for local food in this area. And so we thought it was ripe for this opportunity.
It seems like it would have been something that might have started a long time ago. The fact is that the Rogue Valley, although it's obviously urbanizing in many corners, still has a lot of agricultural land in it.
Yeah, and there have been other organizations that have taken that role. Originally, we were under Eagle Mill Farm Education Project, and so that organization actually evolved into the Rogue Valley Farm to School program.
All right. So how do you do your stuff? What stuff do you do? Which age groups of children do you tend to focus on? And are you able to get them out to the farm in addition to bringing the farm to the school?
Yeah, well, our mission is to educate children about the food system. And so there are three main arms that Rogue Valley Farm to School operates through. We have a farm education component, school gardens, as well as our farm to cafeteria program. These programs reach kids in K through 8, but we also have volunteer opportunities for students in high school and college.
Did you say farm to cafeteria?
Yes, farm to cafeteria, because as we know, a lot of the school lunches are run by a multinational organization called Sodexo, and frequently that implies a lot of processed foods. And so because of the opportunities for local foods in this valley, we're trying to actually get the kids out to the farms, but then also get the farm food into the cafeterias.
How successful has that been thus far? I mean, there's been much written, said, put on television about the efforts to get children to eat healthier food. They tend to find things like carrots hidden on pizzas, I understand.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's challenging. I mean, there's a lot of systemic issues that make it very difficult. You know, part of the farm funding bills actually encourage more mass production. And so it's hard to break into that. Some of the districts have been spending upwards of $10,000 to $15,000 a year on local foods, and yet other districts we've been lucky to get $3,000 to $5,000 spent on local foods. So it really depends on the district.
As was just pointed out, since the Rogue Valley obviously does have lots of urban pockets, but also still lots of agricultural land as well, I mean, nobody lives particularly far from agriculture, but do you find when you take the program into kids in the cities, and into the city of Medford, for example, that there's just a real lack of knowledge about where food does come from?
Well, you know, I started out as a volunteer at the Eagle Mill Farm, and actually before that, I was a teacher that used these programs, and I've brought kids from every district around here. I've brought inner-city kids and urban kids, and all of them love the programs. It doesn't matter if they've never seen a carrot in the ground or if their parents are farmers. Every kid loves to pick a fresh piece of vegetable or fruit and eat it. And when they make a pizza, I guarantee you that if they made that pizza themselves, even if there's artichokes on it, they're going to eat it.
What are some of the responses then you see when you are around kids who are maybe picking vegetables for the first time or looking at food actually in its natural growing environment for the first time?
Well, as you said earlier, you know, learning from a textbook has its value, and yet hands-on learning really is experiential, and it's kinesthetic. It's in the children's bodies, and especially for a lot of young boys who sometimes have a hard time sitting through a lot of lectures and a lot of class time, when you get them out in the fresh air and the sunshine and all of the elements around them, they learn multimodally. which means that not only do they learn it through their mind, they actually learn it through their bodies. And that kind of knowledge, I think, lives with you for a lifetime. And so rather than it being a short lesson, it's something they will remember for the rest of their lives.
Do you hear a lot of kids saying, whoa, the first time they pull a carrot out of the ground or something?
You know, a lot of them are wary to try a tomato straight off the vine. And you just have to encourage them to get past that and say, you know, sometimes I didn't like tomatoes when I was a kid, but I'm going to tell you, this tomato tastes like candy. And they do, because when it comes off the vine, it's very different than something that's been picked early, left in the store to ripen, and maybe brought home a little stale.
Well, it seems like then there would be a certain amount of resistance in the sense that things don't look as perfect as they do on the store shelves in the farm sometimes. And I can just imagine kids, particularly after growing lots of tomatoes in our garden this year, kids saying, whoa, that really looks weird. That yeah. doesn't look anything like what I see on the store shelves. And so how do you get past that barrier?
You know, being an educator, you come across that barrier, whether it's times tables or worms in your tomato. And so, you kind of become an expert in how to encourage kids to move past fear, because that's really what's holding them back. And there's always going to be a kid that says, I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to touch the worm. And, you know, really, if you lead by example and the other kids are doing it, well, they tend to follow along.
David Torzan's our guest in the Jefferson Exchange, a board member at Rogue Valley Farm to School and the Siskiyou Challenge Fun Run Director. We'll talk about what the Siskiyou Challenge is in just a moment and meet his partner here at the table, Chip Lindsay, the ScienceWorks Executive Director. Join us on the Exchange with your questions or comments about Farm to School and its programs, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Chip Lindsay, seems like for what you do at ScienceWorks Hands on Museum, there's a lot of logical interconnection and crossover between you folks and Rogue Valley Farm to School.
Yeah, we find it a natural partnership because so much of what Rogue Valley Farm to School is doing is getting kids involved with the real deal, you know, the authentic experience. That's what ScienceWorks is based on, is having that hands-on authentic experience. It's not a picture in a book or a flash animation on a computer screen. You're actually spinning around, or you're finding out how pulleys work, or you're investigating electronics by soldering. So all of those things are real events. They're formative experiences. It makes a difference in a kid's life, no matter what age they are. And for us, the opportunity to come alongside a group that's doing very similar work, getting kids involved in understanding their world better, is just a natural. So we're happy to be partnering this year.
So ScienceWorks, is this the first year partnering with Rogue Valley Farm to School on the Siskiyou Challenge?
Yeah, we were talking about that just a moment ago, trying to figure out, so when was the last time? I know it was before I was here as executive director, but I ran through some files, some photo files, and there was a Siskiyou Challenge that happened at ScienceWorks, and it was just amazing to look at the photos, because a lot of the staff that are there now are still there, and we saw a lot of volunteers who were running that day. So when the opportunity came up, it was just a no-brainer. It's got to be at ScienceWorks.
So what is the Siskiyou Challenge? You know, is it biking? Is it hiking? Is it walking? Is it all three? Is it swimming too? Sailing? What?
You almost got all of it, but you forgot the kayak part. It's a six-leg multi-sport relay race that actually covers 46 miles in and around Ashland. It begins at 7:15 a.m. at ScienceWorks on Saturday, and that's when there's an orientation for folks to make sure they understand the course and all that good stuff. And then it's going to leave with a police escort officially from the city of Ashland at 7:45. The first leg is a 13K bicycle. The next leg is a 3K kayak out at Emigrant Lake, which is just absolutely beautiful. The next leg is 30K of cycling again. And then they move up into the watershed for a 9K run, which is just beautiful, up in the trails above Lithia Park. And then my friend Aaron's favorite part, the mountain bike race, 13K right through our own beautiful Lithia Park, and then they run all the way back to ScienceWorks in the last leg, which is 6 kilometers.
All right, I'm doing fast math here. So there's 1646. What is it, about 100K altogether?
Yeah. Well,
Quite that much, it looks like.
Yeah, it's getting up there.
That's quite a distance. So tell me about the genesis of the Siskiyou Challenge then.
Well, you know, we're always looking for new ways to increase people's understanding of Rogue Valley Farm to School, as well as fundraising. You know, this is a significant fundraising event for Rogue Valley Farm to School. We offer these programs to students at low and sometimes no cost, depending on the ability to pay. We use an ability to pay system, which is very different than a lot of nonprofits in the area that can sometimes charge upwards of $20 per student to do events, which makes it almost impossible. And so this actually brings in about 10% of our operating budget each year. It's our single largest fundraiser.
When you say ability to pay for the kids, ability to pay for the school districts, both?
Well, a lot of school districts these days are limited to 2 field trips a year due to funding issues. And so by providing a lower cost per student, that way they don't have to ask parents to pay, they don't have to use their classroom funds, they don't have to go begging their principal for some extra money.
When you talk about this being 10% of your income, how big an operation has Rogue Valley Farm to School become over the years? And, I mean, how many staffers do you have, that sort of thing? Are there full-time staffers?
There, we have an executive director who's part-time, as well as an education director who's part-time. And they both work way beyond their allocated hours, obviously. I mean, when you join a nonprofit, you don't do it for the cash. And so, you know, So basically, you know, Tracy Harding is our executive director, and anyone in the Valley that knows anything about farming has met her before, because she's involved with the Saturday markets, the farmers markets, and lots of other organizations, KS Wild and other organizations that collaborate.
And so you mentioned part-time executive director and Tracy, and then just other part-time staffers as well? Nobody?
Those are the main two, yeah. Executive director and education director. We do hire out some college students to do some of the programs, and on the website you can check out the profiles of those students. But they're a more minimal part of the budget, and they run programs for us. So as far as executive and administrative aspects, those are the only two. Everybody else that we pay is actually directly involved with students running the programs.
So over the course of a school year, how many different schools can Rogue Valley Farm to School hit? How many students can you see? Do you keep the Rogue Valley focus rather narrowly, sort of central point to Ashland, or can you get over to Grants Pass, et cetera?
We run programs all the way out to White City. Grants Pass, we haven't done a lot of programs with, but we do the farm to cafeteria programs out there. Anybody is welcome to come and do the programs. We operate farms from Hanley Farm up in Medford all the way down to Central Point, all the way down to Eagle Mill Farm right here in Ashland. And so we can reach any school in the Rogue Valley.
It seems like there are some, for lack of a better term, I guess I use the corporate term, synergies that could be had, certainly between ScienceWorks, Chip Lindsay's outfit, and Rogue Valley Farm to School on a continuing basis. Are there any programs that are offered through ScienceWorks from Rogue Valley Farm to School? In other words, is there some presence there? Would people come to visit ScienceWorks?
I'm not aware of any permanent presence, but we certainly operate with lots of other organizations, mostly farms. And so we have a lot of partnerships with farms, and we run summer camps. We do school gardens in the actual schools themselves. And so we have funding that's available for teachers who want to start gardens at their own schools. And we also have opportunities for in-class visits. And so ScienceWorks and Rogue Valley Farm to School are collaborating on this Siskiyou Challenge, and we hope that that's going to be the beginning of many more.
Which raises the question at ScienceWorks. I mean, it'd be interesting to try to do a farm to school presentation there, because you're talking about perishable goods and things like that. But how often do you have to change things around at ScienceWorks anyway to make sure that things stay interesting for the kids who come back again and again?
Yeah, it's a really great question. The nature of what makes ScienceWorks dynamic is that things do change. And right now, we're looking at moving the furniture around a lot because whether it's exhibits that have been on the floor for a long time or some that we haven't had out for a while, we're continually moving them around. We just shipped a couple of our exhibits that have been on the floor off to Connecticut and Florida as part of a rental agreement. So that's income that comes back into ScienceWorks, but it's a great way for us to, okay, we've got these spaces now. How are we going to use them? One of the cool things that's happening is a collaboration that's going on thanks to SOU. There's a sustainable agriculture and resilient living center that's being planned just immediately adjacent to ScienceWorks. And I know that Tracy's been really interested because the plan is to have some row crops and have some trees that are growing great fruit, and to incorporate that back into what Rogue Valley Farm to School is doing. It's just, again, a great synergy. So in the future, And I'm not sure exactly the timetable, but within a couple of years, that center that's part of SOU's resilient living and sustainable agriculture impetus is going to happen. And at that point, we've already got kids coming to ScienceWorks on field trips. There will be a farm there. So it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. But again, it's one of the things that makes living in the Rogue Valley great, and is that all of the nonprofits know who we are and know what we do, and then when opportunities arise, we're all pretty nimble at taking advantage of those opportunities.
David Torzan, is the Siskiyou Challenge the kind of thing that's good for spectators as well as for the participants? I mean, the participants are going to be working pretty hard by the sounds of it.
Well, it's definitely spread out. And so, you know, the best place if you want to observe would be right at ScienceWorks there. I mean, it's a great place to see the start and to see the finish, as well as, I got to say, that fun run is going to be lots of fun. You know, last year we had it in Lithia Park and kind of running through Shakespeare and doing some of that kind of stuff. But this year with the collaboration with ScienceWorks, we're doing an interplanetary tour, and so you will get to tour the entire solar system within just a mile and a quarter. And so it starts at 10 a.m. Registration opens at 9 a.m. at ScienceWorks, and I would encourage anybody in the valley, whether they have kids or not, to come and run through and do some of the obstacles.
All right, so the Sirius Siskiyou Challenge at 7:15 for the folks who are going to be doing the biking, the kayaking, the cycle, the run, the mountain bike, and the what's the last part?
Run again.
Another run. Okay. That's the Siskiyou Challenge at 7:15, the fun run at 10 o'clock, both at ScienceWorks Hands-On Museum in Ashland.
Correct.
ScienceWorks Executive Director Chip Lindsay, thank you for joining us. David Torzan from Rogue Valley Farm to School, thank you.
You're welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
Bottom of the hour on the Jefferson Exchange. Here's Garrison.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 27th of September, 2013. It's the birthday of the Scottish writer Irvine Welsh, born in Leith, Edinburgh, in 1958, best known for his first novel, Trainspotting, published in 1993. Grew up in the housing projects among heroin addicts who were on welfare, moved to London, joined a punk band, played guitar, was arrested for petty crimes, and then enrolled in a computer skills program, went into real estate, got his MBA. And one day he came across an old diary of his from his druggy life in the projects in Edinburgh, a whole journal which became the basis for his book. It's the birthday of Joyce Johnson, born New York City, 1935, had a two-year affair with Jack Kerouac, which she wrote a book about called Minor Characters, a young woman's coming of age in the beat orbit of Jack Kerouac. And it's the birthday of one of the most famous equations, E equals MC squared. 1905, on this day, Einstein came out with his paper, which asked, does an object's inertia depend on its energy content? And he used that equation to show that matter and energy are deeply connected. It had been an amazing year for Einstein, 1905. He completed his doctoral thesis. In March, he submitted a paper that proved that light could behave as a particle as well as a wave, which gave rise to quantum theory. And in June, he came out with a paper which dealt with the way the speed of light affects the measurement of time and space. The equation led to the discovery that a small amount of mass can be converted into a large amount of energy, which eventually led to the development of nuclear energy and the atomic bomb. The destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki was fueled by converting less than an ounce of matter into energy. Here's a poem for today by Mary Oliver, entitled August. Our neighbor, tall and blonde and vigorous, the mother of many children, is sick. We did not know she was sick, but she has come to the fence, walking like a woman who is balancing a sword inside of her body. And besides that, her long hair is gone. It is short and suddenly gray. I don't recognize her. It even occurs to me that it might be her mother, but it's her own laughter-edged voice. We have heard it for years over the hedges. All summer, the children, grown now, and some of them with children of their own, come to visit. They swim. They go for long walks at the harbor. They make dinner for 12, for 15, for 20. In the early morning, two daughters come to the garden and slowly go through the precise and silent gestures of Tai Chi. They all smile. Their father smiles, too, and builds castles on the shore with the children and drives back to the city and drives back to the country. A carpenter is hired, a roof repaired, a porch rebuilt, everything that can be fixed. June, July, August, every day, we hear their laughter. I think of the painting by Van Gogh, The Man in the Chair. Everything wrong and nowhere to go, his hands over his eyes. A poem by Mary Oliver August from her New and Selected Poems, Volume 2, published by Beacon Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by LendingTree, where you can fill out one form and receive up to 5 loan offers at trylendingtree.com, NMLS 1136. Produced by Joy Biles with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.